When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park, where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events, like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. It is June 28th, 2026. I'm your host, Boyce Olson. It's an odd time of year because much of the campaign that we see is only on TV and it isn't on the streets. Coming up next weekend, we'll have a ton of parades. I plan to follow some gubernatorial candidates and kind of get a vibe and a mood of Minnesota trying to figure it out. This past week, I was in Bemidji where we had a roundtable that will come out later this week about long-term care. And we had three incumbent legislators, three challengers, and others, providers who work in the long-term care industry. And as I was in Bemidji, it was notable that even there, you can see and feel a little bit of cultural shift. Now, the way districts are drawn, competition may not be as tough. And in rural seats, as we've known, Republicans have just had this advantage. But Bemidji, not that long ago, had a couple swing districts. And so we'll watch to see kind of how those districts play out this year. But I will tell you that Bemidji seems to be thriving. I think it's the towns around it that are struggling. And then you add in the ag economy. And one of the things I'm watching this year is just how margins are and if there's some upsets in rural parts of Minnesota. You look at the way in which voters have soured in Iowa and South Dakota on President Trump. In those rural communities in those states, you start to think, will that impact the rural communities in Minnesota? And so as we travel the state this fall, seeing and hearing and talking to folks in greater Minnesota will drive as much of our conversation as anything else. But there's also a few headlines this week that are notable. One, Governor Walz delivering FOIAs, Freedom of Information requests to the federal government related to Metro Surge. That came after the subpoenas were squashed by the government in investigating Governor Walz, Mayor Fry, Attorney General Ellison, and Mayor Herr. That is one scene. And there's a little bit of a split picture here because nationally you have the Iranian war, which does not seem to end. There's a lot of announcements and there's a lot of promises, but again, this weekend, there are attacks. And what you really start to realize is there might not be a plan, or it might not be peaceful. You look at the stock market this last week and you see that AI took a hit. AI has been driving the market higher. And then you saw that prices went up amongst consumer goods because of the drive for chips for AI. So for instance, back to school, Apple laptops are $300 more. That's real money. Trust me. I bought two of them 2 weeks ago. Didn't know the prices were going up, but grateful for the timing. So we enter July this week with volatility, a volatile time in our state, in our country, as we also celebrate 250 years as a country. And if you think about that, the conversations around the barbecue will be all about our country, how we're feeling. But the most common theme I get is, who would want to lead? Who would want to serve? And I think that's one of the biggest issues that we should address today. So today's going to be a talker Sunday. We're going to walk through five things that in the first week of July, we are watching for both August and November. Races, trends, and the mood of Minnesota. I'm Blois Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. When we come back, the first two things that we're watching at this point in the cycle. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sunday Take. I'm Blois Olson. This week, we're talking about five things to watch before the August primary and before November. But as we get ready for that August primary, which is in a little over 5 weeks, there's a few things that will matter. One of them may matter more in the general, but will show its sense in this primary. And that is the Tim Walz factor. You know, recent polls, both internal and external, show that Walz's popularity is well below 50%. And while that's a surprise, considering just 2 years ago, he was the vice presidential nominee for Democrats, it's where Walz shows up. Or does he? Governor Walz has been traveling. This last week, he was in San Diego. A couple weeks ago, he was in Europe. And nationally, he may be more popular amongst Democrats than he is in Minnesota. But his absence is a telling sign that maybe Democrats don't want him. And how does that show up? First and foremost, think about the Senate primary. His partner for 7 years plus, Peggy Flanagan, and he had a falling out after 2024. It's clear, it's documented, and it's real. While they've put on a couple appearances in the last few months, sources say the relationship is still very strained. And one of the interesting factors is, why wouldn't Walz endorse in this Senate race? This is a governor who was very popular early in his term. He's also a governor who won with 41% of the vote in 2018 in the DFL primary. Arguably, that DFL primary, which had 583,000 votes, arguably he could sway this year's primary should he lean in. Why hasn't he? I think that's a question about Flanagan, but it's also a question about Walz. He said he wouldn't endorse, but so did Tina Smith in this seat, and Tina Smith ultimately decided to endorse Peggy Flanagan. The other piece to watch related to Tim Walz is what he says or does. This past week, when he announced that he was going to file Freedom of Information Act requests against the Trump administration, struck me odd. Of course, he wants to push back about the Trump administration, but this is an administration that has had its own challenges revealing data and transparency when data practices requests have gone to his administration. Remember, he doesn't have an email, or every data request says there aren't emails for him. Now, some of that's intentional, I get it, but it also leads us to wonder just what is he thinking about as he thinks about his legacy? Because as he travels, as the legislature's out, the Tim Walz legacy is still in question. And this election may or may not prove it. The final thing about the Walz factor is that he has millions of dollars in his gubernatorial account. The only thing that money can be used for is either his campaign activities or travel as governor, probably for political purposes, or to give to the DFL. And he hasn't done that yet. Walz is sitting on a couple million bucks. Democrats are starting to wonder, will he spend it? How will he spend it? And will he use it to help Democrats this fall? The fourth thing to watch, especially in the next 5 weeks, is these primaries. And we'll start with legislative primaries. And there's two that I want to call out. They are state Senate primaries. In the 5th Senate District, Senator Paul Utke is facing a challenge from Representative Mike Weiner. This could be an early sign of how the legislative candidates line up this year. If local Republicans choose Weiner over Utke in a race of two competent yet different candidates, Utke being more traditional Republican, still very conservative, Representative Mike Weiner being more of a rabble-rouser, a challenger, not just in this race, but in the legislature. If Utke loses that race, that means turnout and local turnout has been pushed hard by groups like Action for Liberty. And if that's the case, then they may be the most powerful influence in the state Republican Party. Interestingly enough, the results of that race may indicate the governor's primary for Republicans. As we look at the governor's primary for Republicans, this past week, it came out that Brian Nicholson, Kendall Quayle's running mate, was on the Capitol Plaza on January 6th. He was in Washington on January 6th. Nicholson, who couldn't answer his age smoothly at his introductory press conference, has faced some challenges on business issues. But overall, it's the challenges of not answering the questions that Quayle and Nicholson will face. As the endorsed candidate this past week, Quayle challenged his Republican opponents to a debate. Interestingly enough, state party rules don't allow that from party units. He wanted the Olmsted County Republicans to do it. We will see if that debate takes place. They've been invited to Sunday Take for a debate as well. I have confirmation from the Quayle campaign, and I have confirmation from the Lindell campaign. I do not yet have confirmation from the Damuth campaign. The next primary to watch is the DFL primary for Senate. As I said before, the 2018 DFL primary turned out 583,000 voters. Tim Walz and Peggy Flanagan won with 41%. Aaron McQuaid and Aaron Murphy being the gubernatorial candidate, had 32%. Murphy and McQuaid were the endorsed candidates. Lori Swanson, remember her, with Rick Nolan, the late congressman from the 8th Congressional District, had 24%. And as you start to look at the way those votes sorted out, it's very clear that Murphy and McQuaid did well in the 4th and 5th Congressional District. That was before the lines were redrawn. And so as we look at that model and think about how many votes there's going to be in the DFL primary, you start to think, if there's 500,000 votes, where do they come from? Let's just say 200,000 come from the 5th district and 100,000 come from the 4th district. That means Angie Craig will probably have 150,000 from the 2nd congressional district, and then probably 60,000 to 70,000 from each other additional district. Craig's chances are going to depend on turnout from the 3rd congressional district and the 2nd congressional district, and then whatever is possible in the 8th congressional district. 8th is northeastern Minnesota. The 3rd is West Metro. It's the Dean Phillips, Kelly Morrison seat, where more moderate Democrats are. And if Craig has a ground operation or she can get people out, that will be noticeable. One thing is that there's going to be a high turnout primary in Senate District 46, where Senator Ron Latz faces a challenge from Linnea Dumoulin. This is a micro race related to the Craig Flanagan race, where a far left progressive is running against a more moderate DFLer. Ron Latz, a stalwart in the DFL, is facing this challenge. And the question is, does the DSA movement make its way to the suburbs? Does it make its way to St. Louis Park? St. Louis Park previously had some of the most pro-business Democrats in the legislature, in Steve Kelly and Ted Mondale. But has the DSA or has the far left protruded into this congressional district 46? Also of note, it includes Peggy Flanagan's old legislative district, and St. Louis Park is Peggy Flanagan's hometown. So there's no endorsement in that race between Latz and Dumoulin, but turnout and the turnout model amongst the constituencies in St. Louis Park, including the Jewish community, will be the thing to watch in that primary. So those are the primaries to watch and the trends to watch as we get towards August 11th. But as we learned in New York earlier this week, primaries and the energy of the DSA matter. One Democrat told me, we don't have a Mayor Mondami here to bring that kind of energy. But if we did, the DSA would be in a better position. And so who has the energy going into that August 11th primary for Democrats? That's the real question. Of course, the last primary to watch that day is the Senate Republican primary, where Adam Schwarzy, Royce White, and Michelle Tofoya will face off. White won a primary just 2 years ago. He proved himself a questionable candidate at best, but he won that primary. If his support is in the 25% range, which between 25 and 30% is what Mike Lindell's expected to get in his polling, that messes with the idea that if Schwarzy gets 25 to 30%, or if there's a non-turnout in the Republican Party, then Michelle Tofoya could be in trouble. But Tofoya is going to rely on her money and her name ID to get through that Republican primary. Tofoya has said that she's not sure if she'll debate in that primary. And so you have Damuth not debating before the primary. You have Tofoya potentially not debating before the primary. And you have Peggy Flanagan relying on the Almanac Couch and Minnesota Public Radio. All these candidates have been invited to debate. We'll continue to press them here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And at least, if nothing else, I'm consistent when I say, guess what? You got to debate, because they debate in the U.S. Senate. Those are the primary trends to watch, where to watch, what regions of the state to watch for turnout, and the challenge the Democrats have that divides their party, which we're seeing in Michigan and Colorado, Maine, and for Republicans. Can their underfunded endorsed candidates still hold on to that endorsement for something that gets them over the hump. Those are the big things to watch in that primary. When we come back, three more top trends to watch this election season, one of them being candidate quality. I'm Blaise Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on Newstalk 830 WCCO.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park, where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events, like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
Denim starts with Abercrombie, and the people who wear it make it iconic. Their high-rise wide-leg jean is such a closet staple, while their ultra-loose low-rise is the go-to for nights out. And who could forget the high-rise 90s relaxed? It's the jean for every day. Complete the look with a bra-free top and you're set. Every pair comes in both classic fit and the viral curve love fit, with additional room through the hip and thigh to eliminate waist gap. It's truly denim made iconic. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
Welcome back to Sunday Take. The last three trends to watch before the primary and the general, I think, begin to start to shape the next legislature and the future of the state. And the biggest one is candidate quality at number three. You know, we can look at the candidates in statewide elections, and we can look at candidates like Mike Lindell and Royce White, and we can shake our heads. But the reality is they have a base of support. We can see the DSA on the left and in the Democratic Party, and we can shake our heads. But again, they have support within the party. But I will tell you, as I travel the state, as I talk to people, that is not where mainstream mood of Minnesota is. It's down the middle. One listener recently said, I don't know how you do it every day and stay neutral. And the reality is, a couple of years ago, when I swore off emotional attachment to these things, it was a good decision. That was 2010. If you think about the 16 years since then, the candidate quality has changed immensely since 2010. 2016 was obviously a turning point in Trump won. And that's not as big of an issue on candidate quality as it is in the way in which we deal with the truth and the facts and the media coverage. Look, I can criticize the media with the best of them. Just ask many reporters in town. But the media is a valuable tool that's going to vet and share candidate information. This past weekend, Brian Nicholson, Kendall Qualls' running mate, was reported to have been at January 6th. The question is, did Kendall Qualls know that? Did Kendall Qualls approve of that? And does that say anything about Brian Nicholson? I think voters will think so. I think the media will think so. But Brian Nicholson has a chance to explain himself, to talk through it. The issues and the events of January 6th still linger, similar to the election of 2020, which Mike Lindell is still claiming was fixed. And interestingly enough, I would guess if he loses, he'll have questions about Minnesota's ballots as well. But when you travel the state, you see that the biggest issue, other than caucuses with candidate quality, is who would put their name on the ballot? Let's be honest. Who would think that putting your name on a ballot this year would be joyful and fun? Now, Democrats can tout that they have candidates in every district, but the reality is some of those candidates aren't qualified to dig into the issues either. I've seen their social media videos. I've seen their positions. And they're entitled to their positions, but do they have the experience? I think that's the biggest thing of candidate quality we're lacking. Activists on both sides are more likely to run. And then with that, they bring an activist mentality to the Capitol. But we've seen in multiple races the last few years where a nominee with questionable background is then defeated in a seat that maybe should have been more competitive. And so it will matter in regards to the majority in the legislature on candidate quality. I think it's also notable that, and I say this gently, the mental health in and around politics has gotten much worse. I look at the social streams of many incumbent Republicans and Democrats. What they want to amplify, what they want to highlight, says that within their brain, they've chosen to talk about an issue that isn't mainstream. They've also, by just giving a glimpse of something, have suggested conspiracies and truths that maybe aren't true. They're not journalists, but one of the challenges in today's environment is the decline of independent media and mainstream media means that the social media of the candidates and the legislators tell the story, but they tell it to the bubble they want. How many of you have gotten on one of those algorithms? Well, I would just say this, as we look at these races from Hennepin County attorney to attorney general, secretary of state to auditor to governor, but mostly these legislative candidates. And if you are around the state, lawn signs are starting to go up. Make note of those names. Ask neighbors. Don't take them for granted. Because I bet you that in the spirit of some of these legislators who have had to resign and quit the legislature the last few years, they can talk a good game. They can give a good speech. But what is the fabric of what they want to do when they get there? One legislative candidate told me recently that as door knocking, people asked, he said, I'm going to be there three terms. I'm not going to run for leadership. I just want to represent the district. And people are like, really? Wow. I think that's one of the ideas that has been lost in the legislature. Of course, it's good to have ambition, but let's make sure that ambition matches experience. The second biggest issue is going to be spending. You have to look at multiple parts of the spending races. So first, we'll talk about super PACs. We are going to get a test of local super PACs in primaries, unlike Minnesota's ever seen before. The Restore Sanity PAC, which is supporting Lisa Damoth in the Republican primary, and the North Star Dawn Super PAC that's supporting Angie Craig, and the Democratic Lieutenant Governors Association that's supporting Peggy Flanagan, give us a glimpse into money that previously wouldn't have been in primary races in Minnesota. Of course, Minnesota has outside money. A Better Minnesota, the Private Business Council, many groups spend externally. But candidate-driven super PACs are new to Minnesota in this primary season. And if those who spend the most win, you will see the impact of dollars in these races. Now, on the flip side, if those who spend a lot lose, the caucus fans will revel in the idea that you can't buy primary wins. I will tell you right now, the power brokers of both parties are watching this closely, and they would like to see us go to a primary rather than a caucus. But that's better left and only can be left to the legislature. And the legislature, as I just said in the candidate quality topic, should lead us to the idea that, well, maybe it's not there. I also want to call out spending in the legislative races. You know, publicly funded campaigns have evened out some of the spending. But the most competitive races and the outside money in those races will be most interesting. If you go to the Fluence Election Tracker, fluenceelectiontracker.com, you'll start to see our top 10 or top races in the House and the Senate. Each one of those races is likely to have $1 million spent in it. $1 million of outside money. Meanwhile, the candidates will raise $100,000 to $200,000 to run their own campaign. Your mailboxes will be full. Your social media feeds will be full. Cable TV will be full. Door knockers will be out and about. And the legislative races, of which fundraising-wise, Democrats have an advantage on, will be determined by that kind of money at the local level. How will they spend it? Who will they spend it on? And what will be the tone and the issues in that mail? That's yet to be said. But you can bet you're going to hear a lot about fraud. You're going to hear a lot about Trump. And you're going to hear a lot about so-and-so's past votes if they're an incumbent, or their party's votes going forward. And that's where I think Governor Walz will turn up. There are districts that won. Democrats won statewide, but Republicans won locally. Those are the races that Democrats are going to focus on. Republicans have a much smaller map, but it's better for them in the Senate. And you can bet that there's 4 to 6 races Republicans are going to make Democrats fight hard for. Let's watch and wait and see how money impacts these races. And then the final thing to watch is the volatility of Washington, D.C. and President Trump. And there's no issue more volatile than the Iran war. What it's done to fertilizer prices, what it's done to gas prices, and what it's done to the idea that just because someone says it doesn't mean it's true. Now, of course, we've had that phenomenon since 2016, but I feel like we're at a peak for it. Trump's unpopularity in Minnesota amongst urban and suburban voters is something that Republicans must overcome if they want to be successful. So in the 7th, the 8th, the 1st, and the 6th district, they have to turn people out. But are those people as energized in a midterm? History has said that in 2018 and 2022, Trump voters were not as energized in Minnesota in a midterm. And if they're not this year, then that means Democrats will have a very successful year. But if they are, especially in some of those legislative races, it could mean the difference between a tie, a DFL majority, or even a Republican majority. And I want you to look at certain places like the Iron Range, Moorhead, St. Cloud, Winona, Mankato, Rochester. Those regional centers are where the population center are and the intensity is. You think of Senate District 30 with Carla Nelson retiring late. That's a swing district that Democrats and Republicans are suddenly going to have to spend money on. But Trump's popularity down there may depend on the farm economy, or it may depend on the state's economy. It could flip on fraud. It could flip on Klobuchar. But ultimately, Trump's popularity will be a factor as we look at all of these races. So there's the top five things to watch this year in order. Number one, Trump's popularity and the volatility out of Washington. The spending, number two. Number three, candidate quality. Number four, the mood of the primaries and where's the energy in both Democrats and Republicans. And then five, the popularity or unpopularity of Governor Walz, which we'll likely see on some level at the state fair. When we come back, this week's take, I'm Blois Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. Next Saturday is the 4th of July. A couple years ago, as per tradition, I went to play golf on the 4th of July. And I wore a little red, white, and blue. I've always been patriotic. I've always loved this country. And when I wore that red, white, and blue, one of the guys I was playing with that day wasn't wearing red, white, and blue. And I said, what, you know, and kind of jest, no red, white, and blue for you? And he clearly was upset with President Trump and didn't care for the MAGA crowd. Now, you can imagine when I play golf with people, there's political questions. But there's never political debate on the golf course, at least when I'm playing. There's insights, there's observations, and there's sharing. But there's no debate. It's just a peaceful place to walk 18 holes, to enjoy friends' company, talk about kids, news of the day, the weather. And it just struck me that red, white, and blue are not partisan colors. They are the colors of the country. And so as we approach the 250th anniversary next Saturday on the 4th of July, I want to call out that if you're patriotic and love this country, don't be afraid to wear red, white, and blue. In fact, I'd encourage you to wear it with pride. We are at a time in our country that there are some days you wonder about the future of our country, the future of our state. Big labels get thrown around. But we still have freedoms that people around the world don't have. First and foremost is the First Amendment, freedom of speech. For those of you who have seen me on video, you know that behind me is a poster that says censorship is un-American. I'm grateful for that, right? I'm grateful for all the rights. And whether it's a barbecue with family or friends at a cabin, a parade, let's for one day just realize that this experiment in democracy still is the model of freedom and democracy. And for 250 years, it has stood the test of time. I'm hopeful that there's another 250 years in it. But in order to do that, we're going to have to find a new economic future. We're going to have to make sure that the middle class grows back. That there is a middle class. You know, we had some of these dynamics in the 20s. And when COVID hit, I started to read about them. That, of course, led out of the Great Depression to a new revolution, the Industrial Revolution, where we built things and built the middle class. Minnesota has some unique economic opportunities and strengths. One is the number of dual income professional households, but that doesn't take away from the disparities that we see amongst people of color. And so,
when it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park, where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events, like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
Denim starts with Abercrombie, and the people who wear it make it iconic. Their high-rise wide-leg jean is such a closet staple, while their ultra-loose low-rise is the go-to for nights out. And who could forget the high-rise 90s relaxed? It's the jean for every day. Complete the look with a bra-free top and you're set. Every pair comes in both classic fit and the viral curve love fit, with additional room through the hip and thigh to eliminate waist gap. It's truly denim made iconic. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
As you go through this week, make a list. Email them to me, BloisOlson@gmail.com. And let me know what it is that you want to be grateful for this 4th of July. Regardless of your party or lack of a party. What in the last 250 years or the next 250 years do we need to make sure we preserve? I would say it's voting. Because I do believe that the populace having a voice is the greatest opportunity of leadership and model of democracy we could have. And so with that, I'll wear red, white, and blue on the 4th of July proudly as an American. Without a party, but a voice and a First Amendment. I'll be with Vanita Monday through Thursday, 6:20. It's Steve Simpson's last week. He's a gem, a very talented man. If you haven't listened to him, get up a little earlier and listen to him this week. As always, you can find our content at thedailyagenda.com. Until next week, that's the take.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Denim starts with Abercrombie, and the people who wear it make it iconic. Their high-rise wide-leg jean is such a closet staple, while their ultra-loose low-rise is the go-to for nights out. And who could forget the high-rise 90s relaxed? It's the jean for every day. Complete the look with a bra-free top and you're set. Every pair comes in both classic fit and the viral curve love fit, with additional room through the hip and thigh to eliminate waist gap. It's truly denim made iconic. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.